Welcome to the News at Noon. The Boaz Fun Days takes place this weekend, July 17th through the 19th at the Boaz Community Park. Friday, the Lions Fish Fry begins at 4:30 p.m. The American Mini Pullers and ATV Club begins at 6 o'clock. The softball tournament starts at 7 and music by Donnie Rasek begins at 9 o'clock. Saturday, the Lions Pancake Breakfast takes place from 7 until 9 a.m. The softball tournament resumes at 8 a.m. The Antique and Farm Pull starts at 10 o'clock. Cornhole tournament sign-up is at noon with the tournament beginning at 1. Southwest Pullers begins at 6 p.m. with fireworks set for 9:30. On Sunday, the softball tournament begins at 9 a.m. The Mill Creek Saddle Club begins at 11 a.m. And also, the Chicken Barbecue begins at 11 a.m. There will be face painting, 50-50 raffles, a bounce house for the kids, and ice cream available from Utter Brothers Creamery. Boaz Fun Days this weekend, of course, in Boaz. The 78th annual Cazenovia Celebration will be held this Friday, July 17th through Sunday, July 19th at Cazenovia Memorial Park. The event gets underway Friday with the third annual Take Your Burger to Work Day from 11 to 1. Also during the weekend, there will be a wide variety of activities that will be held. Maggie Lansinger is an organizer of the event.
Friday night, we've got Swing Crew, who always brings quite a crowd. Dennis is always a good time. And then we've got a newer band to us this year, Gem City Sideshow, Saturday night. So hopefully with the fireworks, they put on a good show.
For musical entertainment, there will be a couple of groups to enjoy during the Caz Celebration.
Friday night, we've got Swing Crew, who always brings quite a crowd. Dennis is always a good time. And then we've got a newer band to us this year, Gem City Sideshow, Saturday night. So hopefully with the fireworks, they put on a good show.
All weekend, there will be free bounce houses, a scavenger hunt, food, refreshments, and more at the Cazenovia Celebration Friday through Sunday at Cazenovia Memorial Park. You can find more information on the Cazenovia Celebration Facebook page. Ross Road in Rockbridge from County DD to Old County Farm Drive will be closed each day, July 20th through the 23rd, from 7 a.m. until 4 p.m. Again, that's Ross Road in Rockbridge from County DD to Old County Farm Drive will be closed each day, July 20th through the 23rd, 7 a.m. until 4 p.m. The transition of the Oak Cooch Mountain Humane Society is progressing positively, marked by successful cat adoptions and significant improvements in shelter conditions. Animals remaining in the shelter are benefiting from cleaner living spaces and increased interaction with dedicated visitors. As this transition continues, the Board of Directors remains engaged in ongoing discussions focused on the long-term welfare of the animals and the strategic future of the organization. To further these goals, the board has scheduled an official special meeting for August 5th at 6 p.m. This gathering serves a dual purpose: to communicate the organization's strategic direction to the public and to solicit vital community input. The board is eager to hear diverse perspectives on what constitutes a responsible approach to caring for stray, unwanted, or abandoned cats and dogs within the Richland County area. Community members interested in attending are encouraged to RSVP through the organization's new website, OakCoochMountainHumaneSociety.org. It is important for stakeholders to distinguish this official board-led meeting from a separate gathering that has been called for July 20th. While the July 20th meeting agenda suggests that votes will be taken to change the organization's direction, it is a technical but critical distinction that, under Wisconsin statutes, such votes are merely advisory rather than binding. The August 5th meeting remains the official forum for organizational planning. For those seeking additional information or clarification, the Society can be reached via email. U.S. Senators Tammy Baldwin of Wisconsin and Joni Ernst of Iowa have introduced bipartisan legislation aimed at bolstering rural broadband access. The proposed Access Rural America Act seeks to provide regulatory relief to rural telecommunications service providers, allowing them to submit streamlined financial reports to the Securities and Exchange Commission. The bill, which has received support from NTCA, the Rural Broadband Association, is designed to reduce the burden of costly and unnecessary regulatory requirements that were never intended for smaller, locally owned firms. By cutting this red tape, the legislation aims to free up local providers to focus on their primary mission of deploying and operating advanced broadband networks in rural communities across Wisconsin and the nation. Vernon County Sheriff Roy Torgerson reported on various ongoing law enforcement activities throughout the county for the week ending July 11th. The week began with a theft investigation on Scenic View Lane in the city of Westby, where keys and other items were reported stolen from a vehicle, though nearby surveillance cameras captured no evidence. That same day, deputies handled an unusual animal-related call in the city of Hillsborough, where a large dog was found on the roof of a business on Water Avenue. Officials safely returned the dog to its nearby apartment by removing a window AC unit. Law enforcement activity increased on the 7th of July, starting with a traffic stop on State Highway 35 in the village of Stoddard, where a motorcyclist received citations for traveling 92 miles per hour in a 55 mile per hour zone and for a permit violation. In Viroqua, a male was arrested after being identified in surveillance footage stealing a backpack from a local business. Additionally, deputies responded to a domestic disturbance call in the village of Lafarge that same day. On the 10th of July, authorities were called to a business regarding a suspicious male loitering after hours. The individual was eventually arrested on charges including possession of methamphetamine, THC, and paraphernalia, along with counts of misdemeanor bail jumping. Another theft was reported on July 10th at a residence on East Lakeview Drive in Lafarge, where money and checks were taken from an unlocked vehicle. The week concluded with several responses on July 11th. Deputies assisted the Kickapoo Valley Reserve Police in locating a missing female on the Kickapoo River in the town of Whitestown, utilizing a drone to successfully find her without injury. Furthermore, a sheriff's deputy assisted the Crawford County Sheriff's Office after a fight broke out at a business on Store Road, and deputies also provided assistance in the village of DeSoto by transporting an intoxicated female found on Main Street safely to her residence. State Senator Brad Paff has formally challenged the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency following the agency's recent authorization of several new agricultural pesticides that contain intentionally added per- and polyfluoroalkyl substances, commonly known as PFAS. In a strongly worded letter addressed to EPA Administrator Lee Zeldin, Paff expressed deep concern over the environmental and public health implications of introducing more forever chemicals into the agricultural supply chain. The senator's opposition focuses on the approval of specific chemicals, including trifluidamoxazin, diflufenican, and epirefenacil. Paff highlighted the paradox of federal and state agencies spending millions of dollars to remediate PFAS contamination in groundwater, while simultaneously permitting the application of similar compounds directly onto food crops. He pointed specifically to the ongoing water crisis in the village of French Island within his district, where residents have been unable to use their tap water for years due to severe contamination. In his communication, Paff underscored the immense burden placed on local taxpayers and state trust funds to build new infrastructure for clean drinking water. He characterized the EPA's Office of Chemical Safety and Pollution Prevention's decision as a counterproductive move that undermines local and federal efforts to protect citizens from toxic exposure. The senator called for a re-evaluation of the pesticide approval process to ensure that the health of rural communities and the integrity of the food system are prioritized over chemical manufacturing interests. New records released by Senate Permanent Subcommittee on Investigations Chairman Senator Ron Johnson and Senate Judiciary Committee Chairman Chuck Grassley reveal that Special Counsel Jack Smith's investigative team allegedly bypassed mandatory protocols during their investigation into President Trump. Evidence indicates that the team circumvented the required filter team review process designed to protect privileged information. Consequently, investigators directly accessed and reviewed text messages from White House personnel, which included communications involving 44 members of Congress. Both Senator Johnson and Senator Grassley have criticized the actions, with Senator Johnson labeling it a, quote, grotesque example of the Biden administration's weaponization of the Justice Department and highlighting the disregard for investigative protocols. Senator Grassley described the investigation as, quote, a runaway train that lacked proper oversight, noting that the investigators ignored routine procedures to obtain work-related messages from numerous members of Congress who were outside the scope of the investigation. He expressed his intention to call for Jack Smith to testify before the Senate Judiciary Committee to ensure accountability. The background of the situation dates back to June 2023, when the Special Counsel's Office subpoenaed the National Archives and Records Administration for text messages from October 2020 through January 20th, 2021, from various White House officials, when NARA provided the data on August 21st, 2023. Members of Smith's investigative team, including senior lawyer Thomas Windham, reportedly began downloading and reviewing the texts shortly thereafter without waiting for the filter team to segregate privileged content. Governor Tony Evers and the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation have announced that Rialta Fusion will relocate its corporate headquarters and primary fusion research facility to Madison. The new facility, to be established at the site of the former Oscar Mayer plant, now known as OM Station, marks a significant expansion for the company and is intended to further solidify Wisconsin's position as a global leader in fusion energy research and commercialization. The heart of the new campus will be a dedicated research and development facility named the Rialta Forge. This center will focus on the construction and testing of HAMIR, a prototype magnetic mirror fusion machine designed to advance the feasibility of clean, carbon-free fusion power. Rialta officials expect to break ground on the project before the end of the year. Leveraging the region's robust manufacturing supply chain and the deep scientific expertise anchored by the University of Wisconsin-Madison. The Associated Press reports the bipartisan Wisconsin Elections Commission has found probable cause that billionaire Elon Musk broke state law when he promised to hand out $1 million checks to voters in the 2025 state Supreme Court election. The commission last week referred two complaints to the Brown County District Attorney's Office. Prosecutors can choose to bring criminal charges over violating the state law against election bribery. The district attorney's office has 40 days to report back to the commission. Musk was deeply involved in the race in Battleground, Wisconsin, spending at least $20 million on the candidate backed by Republicans who lost by 10 percentage points. Welcome back to the News at Noon. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources has successfully integrated a new towfish sonar unit into its emergency response toolkit, funded by restitution from the high-profile Ryan Borgwart case. In August 2024, Borgwart staged a boating fatality on Big Green Lake, prompting an exhaustive search that involved approximately 350 hours of DNR staff time before authorities discovered he had fled to Europe. Following a 2025 court ruling, Borgwart was ordered to repay the costs of the search, and the DNR allocated roughly $9,000 of those funds to acquire the specialized sonar device. This sophisticated equipment allows teams to map the depths of inland lakes for missing persons, hazards, and submerged items with greater precision. Since becoming operational, the Towfish sonar has already been deployed on 4 missions and has successfully located 2 missing individuals. By utilizing these remote tools, the DNR maximizes the efficiency of underwater searches while significantly reducing the risks faced by public safety divers in deep or dangerous waters. Lieutenant Drew Starch noted that the unit is a vital resource for bringing closure to families during tragedies and will be essential for both search and recovery and protecting the state's submerged cultural resources. Governor Tony Evers is formally encouraging Wisconsin small businesses and nonprofit organizations impacted by the severe weather and flooding this past April to apply for federal disaster assistance. The U.S. Small Business Administration recently approved the governor's request for a rapid disaster declaration, unlocking access to low-interest loans designed to aid in the recovery process for those who suffered physical damage or economic injury during the storms. The disaster declaration encompasses a wide range of communities across the state. While the primary declaration includes 20 communities, eligibility for economic injury disaster loans extends into numerous adjacent regions, specifically residents and business owners in Richland, Iowa, and Vernon counties are among those eligible to apply for this federal support. This assistance is intended to be separate from and complementary to any existing programs offered by the Federal Emergency Management Agency. In a statement, Governor Evers emphasized the state's commitment to ensuring that every impacted family and business owner receives the necessary resources to rebuild. SBA representatives are currently available at various business recovery centers to assist with the application process and answer questions. The deadline to return applications for physical property damage is set for August 31st, while the window for economic injury applications remains open until March 30th, 2027. Senator Sarah Kieski has received official notice of her appointment as a member of the Joint Legislative Council Study Committee on the Use of Artificial Intelligence. The committee's work will focus on the application of AI technology within the healthcare sector. Members are tasked with studying the use of AI in interactions between patients and providers, patients and insurers or Medicaid programs, and providers and insurers or Medicaid programs. The committee consists of 16 members, including 12 professionals with experience in healthcare or artificial intelligence, and 4 state legislators. Senator Rachel Cabral Guevara will serve as chair. Representative Adam Nealon will serve as vice chair, and Representative Mike Baer as a committee member alongside Senator Kieski. In response to the appointment, Senator Kieski highlighted the rising importance of artificial intelligence in daily life. She emphasized that safety, accuracy, efficiency, and reliability remain paramount in healthcare. Expressing her honor at serving on the committee, Senator Kieski noted the opportunity to thoroughly examine how artificial intelligence affects patients, providers, and insurance programs in Wisconsin. She looks forward to these meetings as a chance to discuss timely issues and potentially develop legislation to establish standards for AI use in healthcare. Southwest Homeless Coalition, a member of the Wisconsin Coalition of State, is participating in Wisconsin's statewide overnight homeless street count July 22nd and 23rd. On July 22nd and July 23rd, volunteers will be out in our community looking for individuals or families who are homeless. Volunteers will be providing outreach to individuals who are homeless and will offer resources. If you're interested in volunteering in Richland County, contact Roxanne at the ADRC at 608-647-4616 for homeless support. You may also call 608-732-7310. Calling all youth entering 3rd through 6th grade, join Richland County 4-H for Out of This World Exploring Camp Monday, July 27th from 9 until noon at the Richland County Fairgrounds. The camp will feature a fun-filled morning of hands-on activities where science comes to life. Participants will investigate the wonders of space through exciting experiments and interactive challenges. Youth will explore paper airplanes, discover how rockets work, and experience the science behind our amazing universe. Cost is $10 per child or $20 per household. Family registration deadline is Monday, July 20th. You can register online at go.wisc.edu. If you have any questions, contact the Richland County Extension Office at 608-647-6148 or Carleen Craddock, Extension 4-H Educator at Carleen, that's Carleen.Craddock, Craddock, at wisc.edu. Space is limited, so early registration is encouraged. Get ready to launch into learning. Spark your curiosity and experience an out-of-this-world adventure with Richland County 4-H.